Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, Brian. John Morrow here, AP.
Hey, John. How are you?
Not bad. Yourself?
Good.
Good.
Thanks.
Always that dour face, even after... I don't know, another 300-yard passing performance and all that. But how do you prevent yourself from getting caught up in the hype that's around? I talked to Thurman Thomas today, and he said, you know, if Josh Allen stays healthy, he could blow by Jim Kelly's numbers. I mean, there is a lot of buzz surrounding Josh Allen. How do you keep yourself centered at this time?
Yeah, it's just it's on to the next week for us. I've been in this league a long time, have had some ups and have some downs, and you just got to try to stay consistent with how you do things, your philosophy, your approach, your preparation. They're one game seasons. There's only 16 of them for a reason. They're very, very important. And there's a lot of the things that we can do better. As a coaching staff and right down with the players, we just got to keep improving on the things that we need to improve on and really, have good weeks of practice and string good days together. And that's kind of our philosophy and our approach.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you.
Hey, Brian, how are you?
Hey, good. How you doing?
Good. Josh has made it through three games, a huge leap in his accuracy from, 52 as a rookie to 59 last year to 71 this year. I'm just curious, is it mechanical with him? Has he cleaned that part of it, or is it just, part of just the experience and getting games under his belt?
Yeah, I think all of the above. Mike, he's made improvements since he's been here, completion percentage is one thing. Accuracy is another thing. It takes, the ball to be delivered in the right spot. It also takes the receivers to make plays on it, or the tight ends and the backs. And, he's continually trying to improve, whether it's his base or his pitch, his delivery. But I think also, understanding, what we need out of him offensively. I think he has a good grasp of what we do. We try to tailor things to his strengths the best we can as a coaching staff. But it's, he's got other pieces around him too that are helping that. It's a group effort.
Thanks, Brian.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Hey, Brian, it's Kim Jones from NFL Network. How are you?
Good, Kim. How are you?
I'm good. I made a note to myself. Yesterday in the first half, you had a possession, mostly Yeldon, Gabriel Davis, Cole Beasley, and Tyler Croft. And you're nodding. I'm just wondering, I called that a day ball flex because it felt like, you could put him out there and still get a touchdown, and you did. But what was your motivation to have a lot of star power on the sideline for that possession?
Yeah, I think the guys that we put out there, Kim, are guys we have confidence in, and it's important to try to utilize all the guys that you have up on game day. You only get so many spots, and we certainly have confidence in the guys that are in those spots. And again, Josh's job is to find the right guy to throw to and throw to the open guy, regardless of what name's on the back of the jersey or the number that they're wearing. And that's kind of our philosophy offensively is, get everybody involved. And make sure the quarterback is trying to, do his job and give it to the right guy.
If I may follow briefly on Gabriel Davis, he caught my eye in August when I was at training camp. You and I both could list some rookie receivers in this league who are very much still acclimating. He seems to have acclimated. What is it about Davis?
He's smart. He's very intelligent, not just, you know, he's book smart, but he's also very football savvy for a young player. He understands the game. He understands leverage and angles and stems. You know, we've put a lot on his plate since he's been here, and, you know, missing time. He's really done a good job with it. We've asked him to play all four spots. So he's a guy that went in yesterday for smoke at his spot. And he also had to play the other spots. It was actually a spot we moved him there to on the last play. He was actually lined up at one spot in the huddle. We moved him to the other spot. So that's kind of on the fly. He's, you know, credit to the guys, Chad Hall and Mark Lubick, his position coaches, but also the veterans in that room. He's does a good job of listening. Good guy to work with.
Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Hey, Coach. Far be it from me to put an identity on your offense after three games this year, but it just seems to be in stark contrast to the way you've tried to generally win games, you know, your first couple of years here. So the question is, when did you and your staff maybe make the conscious decision that you could be productive and successful largely with three and four wide receiver sets with very little offseason evidence, training camp, preseason to go off of to say, yeah, I feel good about this?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, each year is such a unique year, Chris. Every year is different. And that's why, you know, you know, we believe in having a fairly expansive playbook, is because you don't know who the players you are until you get them in, whenever it may be, free agency, the draft, undrafted, however that sorts itself out. So we missed OTAs, and you're not able to see some of those guys. So in training camp, when you're out there, your job as a coach is to figure out who you want on the field, and then tailor that to the guys that you have. So, you know, it's not, you know, not back in April or anything like that. You really got to see what you got, and you got to see them go out there and execute. And if you have good players, you better find a way to use them. And that's what we try to do.
So was there a time maybe in camp when you felt really good about what your hunches maybe told you, or?
Well, I think each day was its own unique deal, because, you know, you didn't really, you could evaluate, you know, Gabe or Zach or, you know, even Steph. You know, I wasn't around Steph. Obviously, he's a very good player in this league. But until you get him in your system and you get him in your building, you know, you can't just say we're going to, you know, we don't believe in just saying we're going to do this because this is what we do. Personnel department does a really good job of, you know, evaluating players and trying to bring them in. And once they get them in, now you got to see what they can do within your system. So, you know, each day was, you didn't have a lot of time with them, and you had no time with them in OTAs other than on Zoom. So you had to, you know, evaluate them on a day-to-day basis. And you could see some of their strengths and maybe some of the things that, you know, you thought might have been good, but maybe not as good. So we should do it like this. And, you know, we just really believe in, you know, you have to be adaptable, you know, as far as our coaching staff and our players, because every guy's different. They just can't, you know, take them and fit them into somewhere. That's not our philosophy. It's figure out who the best guys are and find ways to use them.
Thanks, Coach.
Welcome.
Hi, Brian. Matt Fairburn here.
Hey, Matt.
I'm curious, when you think back, you know, this isn't your first stop as an NFL offensive coordinator. And when you think back to when you got this job, what did you want to be different or better when you took over, when you started making your plan about the type of coordinator you wanted to be for the Bills?
Well, I think, you know, being a good coordinator is a collective effort. It's about being part of a team, being able to work with a good group of guys on your staff. That's where it starts for me. And, you know, I really think we have a great group of guys to work with. I can mention them all. They're fantastic in their preparation. They're fantastic with what they do with the players. And that's difficult sometimes to create that camaraderie within a year, or, you know, sometimes it takes a little bit longer, but the trust you can develop as a coaching staff goes a long way. And then you build each year, you know, fortunately that we've been here for year three with the players in your system. And you, and again, credit to Brandon and Joe and their staffs for bringing different guys in and, you know, really trying to create a culture of trust and dependability and intelligence. And we place a high premium on being smart football players. And you know, sometimes that doesn't happen right off the bat. You're going to go through growing pains. But if you can get the right people around you, both as a staff and as players, you know, it's hard enough to win in this league, but you give yourself a good chance if you can have alignment and you're on the same page and you can work with one another and bounce ideas off one another. It's just a, you know, to be a successful coach is to have a good team around you, a good team of coaches and good players. And, you know, we got off to a fairly good start. Such a long way to go, though. You know, three wins doesn't do much for you in this league.
On that point, I mean, I know it's three wins. It's a good start, but you mentioned that it takes time. What does it mean that you got the time and that, you know, there was some patience here? And yes, it's only three games, but now you're on the other side. You're starting to see some of the results of that patience.
Well, I just think it's part of the culture that, you know, Sean and Brandon and, you know, Terry and Kim have created. You're you know, piece of the puzzle. It's a really good building, good staff members, good, smart, tough players. And again, that doesn't guarantee you're going to win, you know, the games, but at least it gives you an opportunity with the alignment of the vision, and the chemistry of the people that you work with on a day-to-day basis. And it's, you know, it's not just the coaches and the players, it's the support staff, it's the video guys, it's the equipment guys. It's just a good building to be part of.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you.
Hey, Brian, how you doing?
Hey, Sal.
Curious what went into the decision to replace Quentin Spain with, well, I guess technically Cody Ford and then Brian Winters on the other side. Was it I'll let you explain it. I don't want to.
Yeah, no, that's just a decision for that game that we, you know, we came up with. You know, I have confidence in all three of those guys. You know, how it shakes out going forward, we'll see. But, you know, it's a good group to work with.
Was it like a, was it a, you say it's just for that game. Was it a matchup thing? I noticed, you went at Aaron Donald a lot with Deion and Cody. Is that something you just wanted those two guys on that side together?
No, we just felt for, you know, we felt that was the direction that we wanted to go with. And that was basically it.
All right. Thanks, Brian.
Thanks, Sal.
Hey, Brian, Josh Reed here.
Hey, Josh.
How have you seen Josh Allen's demeanor change during those fourth quarter drives from the first time that he did one back in his rookie year? Have you just kind of the, you know, obviously he's an intense competitor, but have you seen him just kind of the way he verbally communicates, maybe even slow down a little bit?
I think that'd be a good question for the guys in the huddle. You know, I've said it, I'll say it again, that my confidence is very strong in him. And, you know, I'm sure experience helps, not to speak for Josh. You know, you're in different situations. And I think that was his 31st or 32nd game that he started. So I'm not sure how many fourth quarter games he's been part of where we came back and won, but I'd say it's, you know, it's a good amount for a young player. I'm sure experience helps. I think it helps everybody, but, you know, he did a nice job. You know, there's a lot of plays that he made, and with the help of his teammates, those guys made some good plays, and those are tough situations. But again, you know, I give credit to Sean for putting us in a lot of those situations throughout the week, really throughout training camp, put us in a lot of, you know, difficult situations, both as coaches and players. And, you know, hopefully the practice and the preparation time that you put into it leads to some form of game reality. And unfortunately it did.
Everybody wants to talk about Diggs and John Brown and Beasley, but Lee Smith has played one offensive play and has one touchdown. I mean,
yeah,
as far as efficiency goes, there's none better than Lee Smith, right?
No. And as a person too, he's a great leader for us. I was happy to, we were all happy to see that. And he actually just made a nice little adjustment to the route there in the end zone on a critical fourth down, but the ultimate teammate.
Awesome. Thanks, Brian.
Thank you.
Hey, Brian. I want to ask you about John. Obviously, you know, you don't know when you'll get him back in the mix, but you know, one of the big things about him last year was the kind of mindset and that nasty that he kind of brought to the offensive line. A bunch of guys, Dion, Mitch spoke about it. What have you guys been missing without him, not only on the field, but like in the mix, you know, on the sidelines and stuff like that, just with him not being able to be really around?
Yeah, he's everything you want in a teammate and an offensive lineman. He's gritty. He's tough. He's very intelligent. You know, he did a really good job for us last year, and, you know, hopefully we'll get him back here as soon as we can. He's an important part to our team.
And Quentin, I noticed after the game, he was one of the first ones to tweet out a celebratory, congratulatory tweet. I mean, how impressive is that for a guy that didn't play to be as, you know, it's probably not surprising, but to be that supportive and that good of a teammate?
Yeah, not surprising at all. He's an outstanding teammate. And the guys that we bring in, that's, you know, one of the things that we look for is to be a good teammate. Have a little bit of mental toughness. You know, it's not always going to be perfect for you, but you got to do, you know, sometimes what's best for the team. And Q is that. Q's got a lot of energy. I know he's very supportive of the guys. Just another good guy to work with. Very appreciative of him. And really how he handles things.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you.
Hey, Coach, Dan Fates in Rochester. You have won five Super Bowls. You've won a national championship. After maybe when you woke up this morning and you got to, you know, kind of take a deep breath, have you ever been in a game that wild that maybe had that many swings? Micah Hyde said it was probably at the top of his list for craziest games that he's ever been a part of.
Yeah, I have. You do it long enough, you have. We were I was part of a team that was down 28-3 in one of those Super Bowls. We were down 13-0 at halftime in the national championship. You know, these games usually come down to one or two plays. There's good teams in this league, and no lead is safe. Good coaches, good players, and you know, it's a game of momentum swings a lot of times. Unfortunately, we were able to get it back there right at the end. But it's, you know, it's such a challenging league. I'll give a lot of credit to the team we just played, the Rams. I thought they were really, really good. I mean, they were, it was a handful. And you just knew they were going to have some plays, and, you know, things were going pretty well. I think we scored five consecutive drives or something like that. And then, you know, you're not going to score on every drive. You're going to have to face some type of adversity. Yeah, but that was, your heart was pounding a little bit, no question about it.
Talk about, you know, those games you've been a part of. Those are some special quarterbacks that, you know, you've gotten to be a part of. To see, you know, to be a part, to be have that lead, to lose it, but then to be able to make those plays at the end, that's got to take, you know, that's special to see, you know, a third-year quarterback do that, right?
Yeah, but you got to have 10 other guys to be able to do it too, you know. And look, you guys know how I feel about Josh, but – you know, everybody's got to get their minds right when things are not going perfectly. It's a full 60-minute game of, you know, you got to be a relentless competitor and, you know, just keep on playing. And, you know, some of those plays that those guys made, and, you know, it's not just the throw and the catch, it's credit the line too. You know, they had to block a pretty good front with, you know, one of the best guys I've seen play. He's unreal. And to do it with whatever was 4 minutes left and have to go on there and, you know, overcome a 3rd and 22 and a 3rd and 25, you know, it takes everybody to be able to do that. It's not easy.
Thanks, Coach.
Thank you.
Hi, Brian. This is Jordan LaBarber with BuffaloBills.com. There's been a lot written about Josh, obviously working with Jordan Palmer over the years and, you know, reaching out to Tony Romo. I guess I'm just wondering how unique his appetite and willingness to improve is.
Oh, he's a competitor. He's been like that since we met with him out in Wyoming. You got a sense of what kind of person he was. He's a competitor. He wants to improve, and he understands that, you know, there's always room for growth and improvement. And you just appreciate about that, about a young player that is, you know, just tries to get better every day. He's a fun guy to coach. He'll be the first one to tell you he's got a long way to go, as we all do. But he's a pleasure to be around.
Hey, Dave, when you were in Alabama in 2017, you got to coach Josh Jacobs and Henry Ruggs. They're both on the Raiders now. What made them impressive in college, and how have you seen them blossom in the NFL?
Well, I just speak to them as people. They're obviously on the other side of the ball, but they're just good, good young men. Ruggs is a speed demon. And Josh was a second, third on the depth chart, whatever it may be. But you could tell right from the get-go how special he was. Great teammate, great balance, vision, powerful, fast, has good hands, understood the passing game. And Henry, he just caught touchdowns. As a young freshman. So, Ruggsy was young and just two good young players. You know, it's not surprised by the success that those guys are having.
Thanks.
Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.